It's Beef on Netflix, and we explain why it's so good. Let's go.
An elevator take projection.
Hey, welcome to Taking It Down, the TV and movie podcast produced by the Alabama Take. I'm Blaine Duncan, editor-in-chief of the Alabama Take and one of the hosts for the show. Taking It Down's here because I thoroughly enjoy dissecting why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike when it comes to TV, movies, even books and music. I have an English degree and a side hustle as an English teacher, so I'll try my best to offer insight that you can use in conversation with others or with us. Luckily, my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints on the podcast each week, because with me every week are these three. Adam Morrow, who's an erudite traveling and studio musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald, a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film and more. Plus, Natalie Morrow, the first person to ask about fantasy, sci-fi, comics, trashy reality TV, and Beyoncé's music. From us, you'll get the obvious and the obscure. We're here for the TV and film obsessed who are too busy for anything more than the show or movie itself. We'll give the outside of Hollywood analysis with zero Southern stereotype. Yes, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Taking It Down. What I usually do here is give Adam, Donovan, and Natalie a chance to say hello, but not today. They're not here. I've got none of them with me. Instead, I'm being joined by staff writer for the Alabama Take and true movie buff, Mr. Ty Edmondson.
Hi, I'm going to talk about Beef today.
Beef.
That's right.
But you're the exemplar of a cinephile.
Yeah.
Give listeners your bona fides. What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? The answer I would give my grandparents, I'd say like Fight Club. But if you want the answer I'd give like you, like Fallen Angels.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Fallen Angels, that's foreign film.
I'm into a lot of indie spaces and everything like that.
Yep. So Ty, we're pretty singularly minded this week. We're going to talk about A24's hellacious series on Netflix called Beef. I'd be curious if anybody was able to avoid this show in the past week, because I've seen a lot of articles and a few random social media posts about it.
I've seen a lot of ads. I keep getting ads on like Instagram and stuff like that. And especially if you're like following A24 on any social media, they've been pushing it pretty heavily.
I bet you know the answer to this before I would. Is this their first foray into television?
It is not. Euphoria.
That's an A24 show?
Yeah, it's A24. They did Euphoria. They did this one. I forget. It's another HBO show. They've done two HBO shows, and they're coming out with The Idol, which is Sam Levinson's second TV show.
Yeah.
I know that comes out like June 3rd, I think. That's soon.
I'll probably watch it. I liked what he did with Euphoria and is doing with Euphoria. Before we talk about Beef, I was thinking about how this show reminds me that occasionally Netflix will put out a good show, but they're not my go-to for best television.
I haven't been interested, like truly interested in a Netflix original that I can think of right now, probably since the debut of Stranger Things, or like when I first started watching Stranger Things, that was when I was like kind of interested in it. But then I've fallen off of anything they've put out recently.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily.
Yeah. It's usually lowbrow, I would say.
Yeah.
It's kind of lowbrow, but you're right. I think the last season of Stranger Things, I was really interested as far as just watching it as much as I could in a binge mode. I think they need to rethink their releasing all at once strategy. I think that's what's hurting them.
I also agree because there's not, like, for example, Beef is fantastic, and I like that I was able to binge it in like 3 days, but also it built like no anticipation for the next episode. Like, I think that was a big thing with like Game of Thrones and like stuff like that, is everyone was like, what's going to happen in the next episode? Or even like Walking Dead when it was in its heyday, like everyone was so scared for the characters in the show and like everything like that.
Hey, Walking Dead, Steven Yeun, we'll get to that. Or even your Ted Lasso. I mean, it's a streaming series and everyone talks about it right after they've seen it during the week.
Succession is a right now thing as
very
well.
Very right now.
Going crazy about
that. You can't go anywhere without watching or hearing about Succession, which is really weird because no one on our podcast has watched it. Have you watched Succession?
I still have not. I have not. I've been meaning to get around to it because I've heard such great things about it, and I've heard that be like related to filmmakers that I like a lot, but I haven't checked it out.
Yeah. The thing that drew me off of Succession was I think the first 3 or 4 episodes did not get very good reviews. And then they kept getting better and better and better. So I just missed out because of the initial responses to it. Let's break down Beef some. For our listeners, we're going to begin really broadly and then throw down a spoiler warning after a break. So that's going to be your clear line in the sand for anyone who hasn't watched all 10 episodes. The miniseries starts Stephen Yeoh, whom we just mentioned, as construction worker Danny Cho, and Ali Wong as Amy Lau, who is a small business owner on the cusp of a huge multi-million dollar break, possibly. The two of them have a near collision in a parking lot that turns into a bitter feud. Beef was created by Lee Sun Jin, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. I'm really bad with names, especially foreign names. Apologies.
Same here.
But yeah, we'll keep it general before we do any spoilers. I know you've been itching to talk about this. What is it that you loved about Beef, broadly speaking?
Broadly speaking, just in general, as you know, like I'm very big into movies and everything like that. So I don't really get interested in TV unless it's something that's like unique and new. And I love how Beef takes something that is so common among people and just like anger, like it's pure rage, like pure anger, especially with like road rage. Everyone who is listening and everyone who has ever driven a car has had road rage in the past, and obviously probably not to the extent that they end up going down. But I just love, and I love Steven Yeun, and I love Ali Wong's comedy specials. She's fantastic in that regard, and I knew that it would be like a dark comedy. And A24 is a production behind it. I always trust what they're producing, and I know that they have like an independent voice. So I was very interested.
Yeah. You're right. It touches on anger a lot. It ropes in successfully a lot of thematic elements. And I think that when television shows try to get into that, it can be hit or miss because unless they run several seasons and they manage to juggle all these themes. This one touches on so many. You're talking about the anger thing, how race isn't really like this one monolith, this one thing you can count on, class, marriage and children, loneliness, identity, and the layers of what makes a person a person. Was there a particular theme that you felt like, even of those I haven't mentioned, that you felt like that's the one that they got so perfect and it hit close to home or it had an emotional resonance with you?
I think something that I really enjoyed watching unfold was, because I hadn't seen any trailers. I had just seen little tidbits and everything before watching it. I had no clue the class dynamics of each. And I think it's super interesting that Amy's character compared to Danny's character, like has so many struggles that she sees as struggles. Like she's scared of her house being out of date that she just renovated, her multi-million dollar mansion. She's scared about like the clothes that she has and like these little things. But then you go down like Danny's path, and in the first episode he's in a phone call with his parents about like not being able to afford them moving down with him. He's trying to get his brother back on a job, back working, instead of like taking up all his power bill and everything like that. And he's eating, and there's a really funny like scene in the first episode where he's going down and like they mention later why this Burger King, but he goes down to Burger King and he eats like like 6 different like chicken sandwiches. And then it shows like Amy's character at a fantastic like dinner party eating like mushrooms or whatever it is that isn't even like considered food. So I think the class dynamics and how it breaks down people's struggles compared to like actual struggles, if you want to call it that, is very interesting. And how even though they're of two completely different classes, they let something so minuscule as a road rage incident take over everything when they have all these other things put aside that they should really be worrying about.
Yeah. I bet viewers have seen the hint of this at the very least. Even if they haven't watched the show, they've seen hints of this on social media. Is this show is all about upping the ante. Any show, I think, that tries to up the ante every single episode, every single scene almost, causes the writers to paint themselves into corners that they can't get out of. The only two shows I've seen handle upping the ante as well as they do are Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, Better Call Saul to a degree, and then Barry.
Oh, Barry is fantastic. I could go down that road for 30 minutes, but I do like how it does It does that really well. And that was one thing where after I watched the first episode, the ending of the first episode, you're like, okay, now it can only get worse. And then you think that would stop, and it doesn't. It, like, continues and continues and continues. And obviously it gets to a point where you're like, oh, it's okay. And then it's not again right afterwards. I love how it subverts your expectations at around every corner. And there are some predictable parts about it. I mean, like, you know how some things will play out in certain episodes, but in others I was completely caught off guard and really entertained.
Yes, for sure. And you'd think, I bet you would think, I thought, there's no way they're getting out of this without being ridiculous or driving it into this outrageous bit of ground. But then the next thing is outrageous, but it's also a bit grounded. Like that could maybe happen. We won't do anything that'll ruin the show, but talk to me about the performances of Young and Wong.
I really love them. Yeah. I love them both in this. I love Amy's, like, vulnerability to a certain extent. As the series goes on, she gets more and more vulnerable, which I really like. Because it starts and she is, like, this businesswoman who is upholding, and she doesn't even tell, like, her husband her emotions at the time. And she's, like, scared of her relationship becoming too vanilla and all these things. And then slowly and slowly, it starts revealing more and more about her character. In the first episode, you see, like, a funny little bit about her character and, like, how she's repressed sexually and, like, romantically. But then you have Danny, who is an utter and total mess when you really think about it. I mean, his mental state is completely not okay. And that's revealed in the first episode as well, but even besides that, he has so much on his plate, constantly worrying about his brother and the likelihood or the stability of their, like, current state and how likely it is that they can even move their family in. And I love how Steven kind of shows how, especially the relationship between him and his brother, that relationship is shown very well as Steven wants to be loving and wants to help his brother a lot, but ends up coming off as more controlling and even picking fun at him a lot of the time. But both characters and every actor in this show is fantastic when it comes to comedic elements as well. The line delivery of a lot of their more comedic parts and scenes had me dying laughing. I love how often this show can get bizarre and funny at, like, the drop of a hat.
Especially with Steven Yeun's character. I felt like that was the moment. Which is weird because that's almost a reverse of what you're thinking with the actors. You'd think Ali Wong would carry the comedic part.
Yeah.
But no, the character of Danny had this goofiness, dumbfoundedness to him that was just like funny in a way and sad, but funny.
Yeah, and that is a thing that I really like about this show is it is a dark comedy and it states itself as a dark comedy, but it definitely delivers on that sense because you feel bad for Danny and you feel bad for what he's going through and you feel bad for his mental state at the time, but at the same time there's so many eras of comedy that he's going through that from the outside are funny, and I'll get more into that in the spoilers, but everything that, like, happens with his character has a comedic element to it when you think beyond. And there are some things later in the show that really are just devastating, and you can't really find comedy in them. But the same with Amy's character. A lot of her, like motherly attributes and motherly duties can get laughed at kind of a little bit with, like, how her husband really takes up more of a mother standpoint than she will. And
I see that.
There's a lot about both of their lives and performances that you can laugh at, but also sympathize with, because Amy, again, as I mentioned earlier, shows her repressed emotions really well. I really like Allie's performance in that way. Yeah. And same with Steven, as he feels as if he can't really show his emotions around his family members.
It's really, you watched early seasons of The Walking Dead, right?
I watched 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. I ended up watching them all. Complete.
You had already gotten so far deep into
it. The completest in me just made myself watch it all. But no, it's so nice to see someone like Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead or any of those Walking Dead characters. You felt as though they were doing a pretty good job acting. They just weren't. The material they were working with wasn't always the greatest. But to see him in something like this is so fun. And he's been in other things since, but this is the first thing I've really had a chance to soak in from him. We got to mention this. It's not a Have you read much about David Cho, the guy who plays Isaac?
I have, yeah, to a certain extent.
Yeah, this was new to me up until, honestly, yesterday. So David Cho's an artist in real life and provides a lot of those title cards that are so amazing. But
his art's fantastic. Me and my brother looked into it a lot, and I like a lot of his pieces.
So you may know more about this, and I don't have a lot to say about it other than he bragged on a podcast, I think around 2014, of raping a massage therapist.
I have not heard about this.
Okay, so this is what... Now, the artistry part, I figured everyone kind of knew, but he now is claiming he used the wrong verbiage, that the... the way he described it in the podcast apparently is... illegal and horrible, and rape.
That's awful. I've not heard about that, no.
Yeah. It paints his performance and character really scarily, honestly.
Yeah, I was about to say, because a lot of his performance is super controlling and super scary to a certain extent, especially
manipulative.
Towards the end. Yes, very. Especially towards the end of the series. That's horrifying. I had no clue.
I didn't know either. Someone had, in fact, shout out to Natalie. Natalie, our co-host, she had messaged me about it. We were talking about how much of the show we'd seen, and she said she just kind of, I don't think she could get through that part, that aspect. Mm-hmm. She kind of bowed out on beef, which is, it's understandable.
Fair, yeah.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break right here. We'll divide up our general thoughts. So next go around will be some spoilers on the other side of this Alabama Take related announcement. What makes the Alabama Take so special?
Because it's our country. Because of all the great writing.
Is that all?
They also produce 6 podcasts.
6 podcasts? What are they?
Take It On Sports. Taking It Down. Check Yourself. This song sucks, yeah, baby. We are a Star Wars.
Do you listen to them?
Yes. I don't miss it.
Which one's your favorite?
I love all of them.
Ty, you and I will get into details on some of these episodes of Beef, especially the end. I want to get into some of this back half. If you haven't seen all 10 episodes, this is your chance to bail before they're ruined. We're going to ruin them. We're not going to think about spoilers at all. We're just going all in. I read New York Times critic James, and his last name is hard for me to pronounce.
I have his name written down, too. I can't. I was waiting for you to try.
It's something with a P, and he's really good. I've been reading his work a lot lately, but I think he's the one who said it's not a love story, but a hate story.
Mm-hmm.
Were you thinking in the first 3-4 episodes they're gonna hook up?
I was not.
Oh really? Because I thought that they might try that, and then when she hooks up with Paul, I thought, well, how are they gonna backtrack this and have her hook up with Danny if that's what they plan on doing? But you know,
in the first episode, I watched it with my family, and me and my brothers were dying laughing at when he looks at the picture of her husband and goes, oh, is he around? Like, is your husband here today? Because I think that was his original intent. I really do think he was going to sleep with her because he thought that her husband was the one that was driving the vehicle.
Oh, but it ended so up he was going to do that for revenge.
So I really do think he was going to sleep with her for revenge against her husband, but then figured out that she drives the white SUV.
Yeah, not the husband.
Yeah.
Not George. Okay, I think that's a fair interpretation. I don't know if I picked up on that. Good shows, great shows do the little and the big really well. One of my favorite moments to give you the hint that Danny's just a goofball. Do you remember the scene where he's up on the ladder and his two meathead friends are below? It's really Isaac's guys. Yeah. And they're making the alpha betas jokes, and somebody says, no, she's a Zeta. And then he just says, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yes. And they're like, why? That's not even funny. That is the perfect example of a bad joke or a joke gone wrong.
And then he proceeds to, I don't even think Paul knew who that was, and then he proceeds to fall off of the ladder after that. And another one of my like kind of grim likings of Danny is the way that he tries to commit suicide is revealed with turning on a bunch of hibachi grills and attempting to ingest like carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
And That is definitely meant to be comedic, because just the idea of having like 8 hibachi grills running in your house at once to try and kill yourself is very grim, but at the same time is a perfect example of the dark comedy and how it shows his character is a bit of a goofball, how there's so many other ways and painless ways to do so, but he proceeds to try and do this. And also the fact that this whole thing started because he was trying to return these grills for the fourth time after he doubts wanting to kill himself back and forth. Really? That was also a very funny realization.
That's the perfect mix of sad and funny.
Yeah.
That's totally true. did the church praise music resonate with you at all? Did it ring bells?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew a lot of the songs in there.
Oh, no, you didn't. Did
yes.
you really?
Yeah.
God. It's so bad. You know, Danny and Amy are really about the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you get a sense of that all throughout, but nothing paints that picture more so than that final episode. And to me, the final episode was the funniest episode.
I thought it was fantastic. I liked it a lot.
I might be jumping the gun there, forgive the pun. There's something there that seems to be telling viewers we're all the same and to be careful. What else did you take from their similarities, though?
Just their similarities in general. I just love, I mentioned this a little earlier, but I can get kind of more detailed with it. I just love that their anger comes from the same place, even when, the world in general tries to pin classes as two completely different people.
Mm.
But at the same time, as you mentioned, Danny and Amy are really the same person, showing, and I think obviously the main point that the show provides us with to show that they're similar is how enraged they get and how at home Danny goes home and is like telling Paul, is like, oh, this girl pulled out in front of me and I'm so angry about it. And then Amy goes home and says the same thing to her husband, and I just love that they both deal with their anger in the same insane way. And even Amy, who is shown to have this like strange sexual fetish with danger and guns, and that is obviously more of like a repressed action that she feels as if she can't really commit to with her husband. Danny is the same way, as he keeps in all this rage and keeps in all this just repressed emotion from not being able to get his family there. His business is failing. Paul won't listen to him. His brother, he won't do anything. And I just love that anger is the driving force of both of them and really makes them the same person at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think the way that anger in general drives the show along is fantastic. I botched some of my explanations throughout
No, I get it. I love that they go home and basically say the same thing, and Danny's met with indifference, and then Amy's met with this toxic positive that's just toxic anyway. It's almost indifference. It basically should be. You know, we got a lot of masks we wear in public, and a few in private even, and Danny has to be this good guy Christian guitar player in praise band in about the midway point, and Amy has to be the good entrepreneur to her white boss. And it really brings to mind the questions, are we ever our true selves? And isn't a bit dangerous to be completely honest because of this idea of conditional love that's explored, which I found that to me was one of the more appealing aspects, is this notion of, do you ever love anyone unconditionally? And I think that you do is where I landed, because of the last episodes of talk of June was really revealing. I think you can love your kids unconditionally.
Yeah. And again, that's why I kind of disagree with some people that I've talked to about how some of my family thought that the ending represented like a romance between them, and I didn't agree with that, because going off of your point, this show very bluntly talks about unconditional love. It's even in a therapy session, I believe, between Amy and her therapist, and just the show ending on an embrace of two pillars of anger throughout the entire series just shows that maybe that is something we should be looking for. Maybe that is something that we should be striving for, is loving someone unconditionally without fault, like without looking for a fault and looking for a way to be angry at them, which is something that often doesn't end up happening.
Just for the record, I love my kid unconditionally. I don't know if she could do anything too bad. You brought up the Burger King thing in our first segment. Man, the way that they used Burger King to continue the idea of this emptiness that needs fulfilled.
Yeah.
And then the fact it's not such a nice touch not to use Taco Bell or KFC, but it's Burger King, because both of them want to be, you know, on top and in control. Yeah. And then it continues to be a bit about hunger and eating. Do you know they got sick in the final episode because of what they ate, and it's almost like that was an apt visual metaphor for their anger that was, you know, it made them sick.
Yeah,
mentally throughout the 9 episodes, and then in the final episodes, physically, which led for just a wonderful reason to have them trip.
And even more of them being the same person, and even them holding a fake attitude and not being real. For example, like Danny, as you said, is this God-loving Christian and who sings for the praise team, and then is stealing from the church to pay off his parents' house. And Amy is acting like she loves this boss and sucking up to her as much as possible. And then even in her own house, as soon as she leaves, talking the most awful insults towards her and just being so angry that she can't get what she wants. And I love that it shows eventually them eating at the same place and having the same meal, being Burger King at one point. Mm-hmm. And I also think it is a little bit of a nod, because no one really talks about Burger King when it comes to restaurants and, like, even fast food restaurants. No one really mentions that. And the fact that they're both seen kind of having this wall broken down, being vulnerable in the way that Amy is eating at a place that she would never even imagine with the amount of money that she has eating at.
Yeah.
And Danny is causing himself to be sick from constantly indulging in what would be seen as food that is most definitely not something you should be ingesting in the amount that he ends up doing in the show. And I love that you mentioned that Amy tells Danny what to go and pick and what to eat, and then ends up being completely wrong, and even says that she just looks everything up on Google and doesn't know anything about plants to begin with, which is just another facade of her character, which I love.
Exactly. And then, they tie it all together with that being a part of her facade, as well as the eating, you know, in relation to their anger. I do want to talk about the flashbacks. Flashbacks can be hit or miss in shows. Mm-hmm. What I found these to be very poignant, especially Amy's. Well, Danny's too, honestly, of being bullied by the white kids, and then an Asian kid who also chipped in on the bullying. I assume that was Isaac, though it's never stated.
I think it is. Maybe it is.
A young Isaac? So, first I'll let you comment on Amy's flashbacks, or either of them. Do you have any specifics?
I like how it bridges the gap between both of them very well, as it shows right when Amy was born and her parents picking her up, and it shows Danny right when he was born. And I love the different parent reactions. Danny's is a little more goofier, with the dad pointing out the size of his penis, and and Amy's is a little more loving and a little more accepting. And I just love, like, relating it back to them being the same person. At the end of, like, at that time, they were both babies. Like, they had nothing to show for themselves. They had nothing to do. And having both those scenes side by side kind of bridges the gap between them, as they're both human beings in the end. And I love the flashbacks. I don't remember a ton of Amy's, but I do remember Danny being pushed down. And I love, as you said, I think that is Isaac. And probably. I love him being bullied by Isaac, and then later on Isaac essentially bullying him again by taking his money and manipulating him. I'm not exactly sure what Amy's flashbacks are. I really cannot remember those for the life of me, if you remember.
Man, there was a certain heavy realism to Amy's. She was a tween in one, where she was digging through the cabinet for snacks and then happens to overhear her parents basically saying they didn't plan on having her, and it's a burden. It felt real.
I remember that one.
How afraid were you by the monster who ends up haunting Amy?
Oh, that was, I didn't, at first, like, when I was first watching that, it caught me off guard, and I didn't really see, like, the point in it. But then as the show kind of went on and that final episode kind of played out, I really started thinking back more on Amy's character and how repressed and scared she is to talk about her feelings and emotions, and how she even reveals to her husband that She was prescribed antidepressants when she was younger, and this monster never went away, and this thing that she kept seeing never went away. It's just a perfect, like, example of how repressed of a person she is, and how she sees as if she can't tell anybody anything, but instead has to keep up this facade of being this fantastic businesswoman that's made a name for herself and knows a lot about these plants that she's selling, and she's selling like the most high quality things for like high dollar this entire way through her younger age. And I'm not sure if it really mentions it being in her older age, but she sees just this disgusting monster that is telling her that she can't tell anyone that she sees her. She can't tell anyone that she sees anything in herself. And I think that's very sad.
It crops up when she's in her sexual encounter with the person she met off a chat. So she was a little older and still seeing the monster.
Yeah.
The book, by the way, is Miss Nelson is Missing. I think it's a real book.
Oh.
I think, if yeah, I'm not mistaken on my research there.
I haven't heard it.
Pretty creepy. I do want to
look
that book
up. Yeah, it
is. One quick hit I want to take about the witch monster, whatever you want to call her, is she encapsulated the crux of the heartfelt part of the show to me is when you thought that the monster was going to be kind of even up in the scare factor, and she tells little tiny Amy, you know, I can't tell anyone who you really are because no one will love you. Yeah. Rather than saying, I'm going to go tell everyone, she says that. And that's pretty heartbreaking. Did any of the escalation go a step too far where you felt taken out of it at all, ever?
No, actually. I didn't think so. I thought when Danny's house is burned down, and I love the fact that it reveals that it wasn't Amy at all. And even when he accidentally kidnaps June, which is a hilarious thing in itself, that she's having such a great time and having the best day of her life, she says. But I love how this show, and I saw some of the advertisements, and I saw Danny being arrested at one point, which happens when he goes to her convention and is like screaming out at her. And it's really a pretty innocent thing to get arrested for, other than Isaac punching the police officer. He didn't really do anything to really harm Amy, but in the show, it's definitely shown with like, or in the advertisement, it's definitely shown with like a darker idea in mind that, oh, he's arrested because he was trying to do something. Like, I wonder what happens next. And that's obviously advertisements being advertisements, but I think that's also kind of meant to draw you in the way that it never escalates too far. In my opinion, it gets crazy, but not even because of the original beef that happens with them, because the original, like, road rage incident. It gets crazy because of misunderstanding between each other. Mm-hmm. That, like, Danny never really kidnapped June. And, like, June ended up just crawling in his car, and it just happened how it happened. Danny didn't mean to hit her husband that hard, which is what caused the police to come after anyways. There wasn't really any...
Fumi wasn't supposed to be in the house.
Yeah, there wasn't super malintent with everything. There was no real desire to kill anyone or get anyone killed in the long run. It was just super unfortunate circumstances that led down this path that they ended up going down. And even with Danny's house burning down, that was his own fault. That was his faulty wiring that he ended up doing, and just assumed that it was Amy immediately. Yeah. And even when he figured this out, he just couldn't believe it for himself that he had to keep assuming it was Amy, and even told Paul the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's why I kind of thought the escalation worked for me, is because it never, in my opinion, they never really did anything that would constitute as going too far. It was just more of the circumstances that played out around them.
The only two things, and I don't knock the show for either of them, is the intensity of the gun fight felt pretty intense. It felt almost out there. I do think that June would have been a little frightened of maybe Isaac, if not anyone. That seems she was just chill, but I think that she would have been a little bit cryy at some point. You know
especially
what I mean?
When Isaac rushes in and immediately punches Danny in the face. I don't really think a kid would turn around and say, stop fighting to that, and like act like everything was fine. I definitely thought that when I was watching the gunfight as well, which it was very bold. I didn't expect an all-out shootout to occur over such a minuscule thing.
Only white people died in the
I noticed that as well. I do love, though, talking about who died in that episode. I love the way that Jordan dies in this. It's this awful, really.
By her own rich panic room.
A terrible death in concept. It sounds absolutely excruciating. But to me, all I could think about was how darkly comedic the moment was of such an object of safety being this $1 million, probably in the billions of a mansion that she has.
Oh yeah.
And this panic room that she is so excited to finally be able to use, and she's sprinting towards it, and what is supposed to provide her so much safety and what she has spent so much money on for this specific occurrence ends up killing her in the long run. It's not even the attacker or a police officer accidentally shooting her. It's nothing of the sorts. It's her own fault that she died in the long run.
That's a good observation. The only way they could have made it more clear would be call it a safety room, and then she gets killed by that. Well, that would have been too much. Did you catch the song for the last episode, though? Speaking of food and how we were feasting on anger here.
I don't think I did.
Is Mayonnaise by Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
A little double dip almost.
I loved the Bjork inclusion.
Yeah, Bjork was a good one. Pretty good soundtrack overall. There's some of those songs I didn't necessarily love when they were out, but it kind of felt of a piece. It was all about, early aughts, kind of almost emo stuff for a while. Mm. Pretty funny. But Mayonnaise, about 92 or 3 from Smashing Pumpkins in the entire series, and good way to go out. So, a lot of people you say didn't like the final episode. Do you think they were too interested in the external of what was going on rather than the internal?
I think so. I think people wanted it to end crazy, and it definitely ended crazy, but I think people wanted it to end with one of them dying, and I think people wanted it to end in this bombastic way of these two forces clashing and finally it ending. But I really, really, really enjoyed just the exploration of their characters, because I think it made you realize how much this show has focused on the intense rage that they hold. And it had great character moments as well, and I think it had enough character moments. I think it was fantastic with what it did. But still, the driving force of this plot had always been the road rage incident and how worse it got and how more intense it got. But the very last episode, which to most series is supposed to be this big conclusion, ends up just being an internal examination of both of them.
Yeah, a real quiet moment.
Yeah, very quiet. And a great place for them to be is the desert, which has absolutely nothing around them but themselves, and gives them a perfect way to explore each other and explore each other's emotions and how each other is acting in the long run with everything that has transpired in the entire series.
I was perfectly fine with them unpacking the entire show in a conversation while they were tripping. You know, everything they were talking about was like, oh, okay, that's what this show is about. Oh, okay, that's also what this show is about. It was not annoying the way that other shows who try that just, I don't know. It's just good writing, I guess.
I agree.
Yep. Good stopping point for us. We got the one show under our belt. Go watch Beef. Yeah, if you've listened this far, we've ruined it. But anyway, you should go to your podcast app and say what you like about Taking It Down or this episode of Taking It Down. Visit The Alabama Take for all sorts of writing on pop culture and all the other podcasts. It'll tell you what we have and where to get them. Find us Taking It Down at Taking It Down Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll talk some TV and film as much as you can. See everybody next Tuesday.